Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are strapping in and heading straight for the industrial backbone of the recreational fishing industry. If you're a manufacturer, a major distributor, or you run a large retail fleet, historically, your success was governed by two things: market intuition and, you know, those big predictable seasonal cycles.
Right.
You knew the spring run was coming.
Right.
So you ordered more hooks and reels.
Simple. That intuition, it used to be enough, but today, with global volatility hitting everything from resin prices to shipping containers, well, relying on that gut feeling is financially dangerous.
Yeah.
It's creating this massive and costly operational issue that the sources we've shared call the macro efficiency gap.
That gap. Mm-hmm. It sounds like corporate jargon, but the reality is harsh.
Mm.
It's actively eroding your bottom line.
Mm.
It's killing your return on assets, or ROA.
Mm.
If your assets, your inventory, your factory floor, your fleet of boats aren't constantly performing, that ROA just drops. So the mission of this deep dive is to show you exactly how industry leaders are rapidly shifting from those slow, reactive business models to what they call predictive operations.
And this shift isn't theoretical, which is, I think, the most exciting takeaway. The sources reveal that early adopters who've implemented these specialized AI frameworks are already reporting a clear, measurable 15 to 20% increase in operational velocity.
Wow.
They are moving product faster, building boats more efficiently, and reacting to market shifts before their competitors even know those shifts are happening.
That speed, that efficiency is what we're calling under the waterline today.
Yeah.
We aren't talking about consumer-facing applications like, you know, the AI that writes your social media posts.
Right.
We are diving deep into the industrial application of AI that affects the hard assets, inventory, logistics, manufacturing. This is where the real competitive moat is being built.
Okay, let's unpack this crucial strategic difference, because a lot of executives are still missing it.
Right. We have to start by tackling the most pervasive market misconception. This idea that AI is just a tool for chatting or content creation or generating snappy marketing copy. The sheer volume of that hype has inadvertently created a huge strategic blind spot for the operational side of the house. People are playing with chatbots while their entire supply chain is still running on five-year-old spreadsheets.
It's a critical error in judgment. When executives treat AI as a sort of digital distraction or a marketing tool, they overlook its true power.
Okay.
The reality is that AI functions as the digital navigator for the entire enterprise. Think of it like this. A captain used to have to guess the location of a submerged reef based on old charts.
Right. Gut feeling again.
Exactly. Now, the GPS finds that submerged, undocumented reef without any guesswork. The AI does the same thing. It finds hidden operational efficiencies that no human or, frankly, traditional software system could ever spot.
That's why the sources call this benefit the invisible ROI. They state it point blank. The greatest value of AI in the recreational fishing sector isn't found in what it writes, but in what it reveals. We're talking about moving past simply making informed guesses and entering a radical new era of computational certainty regarding our hard assets.
And what enables this industrial shift is the complexity of the data processing. Traditional business intelligence software, it can handle a straight line like, did we sell more rods this May than last May?
Simple comparison.
Yeah, very simple. But the new generation of predictive analytics and logic engines can simultaneously process millions of disparate, highly variable, what we call nonlinear data points.
And nonlinear data is where it gets really interesting for anyone running a large-scale operation. We're talking about data points that, well, they shouldn't correlate, but they absolutely do. For example, the volatile cost of marine-grade resins, a component in everything from boat hulls to high-end reels, correlated with aluminum futures, and then filtered through hyper-local micro-shifts in regional retail trends, driven by a change in local wind patterns or water temperature.
Exactly. A human analyst can't possibly make that connection in time. Your current spreadsheet might tell you the inventory you ordered in January arrived in March.
Okay, useful, but it's history.
It's just history. The AI tells you that the resin cost volatility in January, combined with the forecasted El Niño cycles, means you should have tripled your order of product B back in November to meet the demand that's coming in June.
Let's make this concrete with a couple of real-world examples from the sources. If you're a distributor, out-of-stock events are just financial poison.
Total poison.
You've lost the sale and potentially the customer. So one distributor used AI to correlate 5 years of those out-of-stock events with specific environmental or supply anomalies that happened 2 months prior.
The result? They can now use that pattern to pre-position inventory strategically, moving it closer to the regional markets where the data suggests a surge is imminent. That's money saved, sales captured.
Or the bit manufacturer example. They can use AI to simulate production bottlenecks caused by supply chain delays weeks in advance.
So instead of being surprised when a shipment of navigation electronics is late,
the AI alerted them 3 weeks ago. They can then optimize their labor schedule, shift employees to a different part of the line, or rework their assembly plan long before the actual delay hits. It's about minimizing idle hands and maximizing factory output.
So the conversation for every executive, it changes fundamentally. It's no longer a philosophical discussion about what is AI, but a tactical one. How does AI optimize my inventory, stabilize my production, and protect my ROA?
Right.
That's why that actionable quote from the source material is so direct. If your AI strategy doesn't touch your inventory, it isn't a strategy, it's a hobby.
Oof, that's a strong statement.
Well, inventory is the core hard asset in this entire sector.
That sets the perfect foundation for analyzing the predicting supply framework, which is, it's the technological recipe for making this operational shift happen.
This framework has one overarching goal: to transition from the traditional push model, which, like we said, is just ordering based on last year's averages, to a highly granular, responsive precision model.
Okay.
But the most critical function of this precision model is eliminating one of the most costly logistical nightmares in the industry, the bullwhip effect.
The bullwhip effect is a great term, but for anyone who hasn't encountered it, let's nail down what that means and, say, tackle sales.
Sure. Think about a fishing lure. A retailer sells two extra lures this week, so they overreact and order 20 more from the distributor.
Okay.
The distributor, seeing 20 extra orders, overreacts and orders 200 more from the manufacturer.
I see where this is going.
The manufacturer, seeing 200 extra orders, overreacts and ramps up the resin order to make 2,000 all because of two extra sales at the initial retail point. The demand signal just amplifies wildly up the chain,
creating massive overstock, unnecessary production runs, and ultimately dead inventory.
Exactly. It's financial chaos caused by bad communication.
So this framework fixes it by using three pillars. The first is the input: multivariate demand signal aggregation. Rope, let's stop there. What exactly does that mean in plain English for a distributor trying to decide how many spinning reels to buy?
It means the AI is building the ultimate picture of future demand by pulling in data far beyond simple sales history. We're not talking about simple spreadsheets anymore. We're talking about combining the ultimate weather report with regional sentiment trackers and global financial markets.
That input data is truly holistic. For instance, Pillar I pulls in macro environmental data. We're talking about serious long-range factors: sea surface temperature anomalies, long-term weather forecasts, and the major El Niño or La Niña cycles,
which can completely dictate where the big fish migrate and how long the season lasts. That data dictates the fishing bite, which is the single biggest driver of customer demand.
Right. But it's not just the fish. They also fold in the human element through regional sentiment analysis. The AI tracks shifts in actual fishing techniques across forums, social media, regional angling networks.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Think about the rise of forward-facing sonar. That single piece of tech means certain lure categories are suddenly obsolete and others become critical. The AI tracks that shift in real time,
showing where demand is collapsing and where it's surging.
And then the boring but essential stuff: economic indicators, real-time fluctuations in recreational fuel prices. Because if gas is too expensive, fewer people trailer their boats far away. And local discretionary spending indices. The AI aggregates that entire mosaic.
Which brings us to where the magic happens, Pillar 50. Nonlinear pattern recognition. We established that nonlinear data doesn't follow a straight line. The human brain, you know, it can't easily process the correlation between gas prices, consumer confidence, manufacturing cost, and the specific start date of the spring trophy season in Maryland.
But the AI can. It sees correlations invisible to human planning cycles. For example, lure category X. Let's say a specialty offshore jig spikes in sales precisely 14 days after a specific thermal break in the Gulf Stream hits the Carolinas.
Wow.
That thermal break brings warm water and the target species, and the AI knows the two-week consumer purchase lag time better than anyone.
This is the difference. Standard forecasting is guessing based on what happened last year. This is anticipating preparing for the future based on the physics and environmental realities of the world. It anticipates hyperlocal demand surges,
allowing distributors to physically move the product to regional hubs before the first customer order even hits the wire. And that leads directly to the actionable output, pillar three, synchronized actionable logistics.
Converting data into speed.
Exactly. Converting that high confidence data into actual physical velocity. The output isn't a suggestion, it's a high confidence directive to your warehouse manager.
A directive like dynamic reallocation. The system might automatically suggest transferring slow-moving, bottom-dwelling inventory gear that's not selling in the depressed Midwest market to a region on the coast where the bite is peaking right now.
You maximize the chance of that product being sold before it becomes obsolete. And for manufacturers, this enables true just-in-time component sourcing.
Right. By predicting lead time volatility for global components like electronics or resins, the manufacturer orders them exactly when needed, maintaining their production schedule without tying up excessive capital by storing massive, expensive component buffers.
That capital conversation is huge, especially when you hit the dead stock warning. Every piece of inventory sitting in a warehouse is financially perishable. Mm-hmm. Gear changes, trends shift, and that overstock warehouse of legacy tackle is a financial graveyard for your ROA.
And the numbers back this up. The metric is undeniable. Reducing warehouse dwell time, the amount of time product just sits there, by just 10% can lead to a 15% increase in available liquidity.
And that cash doesn't sit in storage fees. It flows back to R&D, innovation, and expansion.
It fuels future growth instead of just paying for space. That's how you close the macro efficiency gap, by treating inventory as a liquid asset, not a static cost.
We've talked about saving money and improving efficiency in the warehouse. But these same predictive tools are transforming how products are designed and how retailers engage with customers. Let's move to those game changers, digital twins and geocontextual AI.
Right. The industry leaders are moving beyond general AI productivity and investing heavily in what are called spatial and predictive physics models. These two technologies are fundamentally changing how they view their hard assets.
Be it the complex mold of a boat hull or the stocked shelves of a regional store.
Exactly.
Let's start with digital twins. For manufacturers, this is a dynamic, AI-powered virtual replica of a physical asset. This could be a new product design, an entire factory floor, or even the complex global supply network that feeds into the assembly process.
The beauty of the digital twin is the immediate ROA benefit of simulation. You can run thousands of stress tests and scenario planning events in seconds. What happens to the final product integrity if we swap resin A for resin B?
Or what happens to the production timeline if a tier two supplier faces a 30-day delay?
The twin provides the answers instantly.
And you have to contrast the cost, because that's the real win. A physical prototype failure, a rod snapping in a test rig, a hole cracking costs tens of thousands in materials, labor, and time.
Sure.
A failure in the digital twin costs only the electricity used to run the simulation. The ROA is won or lost right there in the R&D phase, long before you ever cut the first piece of fiberglass.
And beyond manufacturing, digital twins are invaluable for rental fleets, the guys running guides or charters. They enable predictive maintenance.
Okay, how so?
The twin anticipates when a specific outboard motor component is likely to fail, not based on time, but on its real-world usage patterns, salinity exposure, cumulative engine hours.
So the fleet manager can schedule preemptive service, keeping that expensive asset on the water and generating revenue, rather than sitting in the shop broken down.
Precisely.
Now let's move to geocontextual AI, or GeoAI, which completely transforms distribution and retail visibility. The critical challenge here is capturing intent at the waterline,
making sure the right product is visible to the consumer at the exact moment their intent to purchase is highest.
Right.
GeoAI achieves this by leveraging real-time environmental data to trigger hyperlocal strategy. It moves past generic national advertising to what we call synchronized commerce. The storefront, digital or physical, is in perfect harmony with the water conditions right now.
We have some fantastic examples of this. Take the hatch trigger for the fly fishing market.
Okay.
An AI agent monitors local river temperatures and specific insect hatch data.
Mm-hmm.
The moment conditions become optimal for a feeding frenzy, it automatically boosts search engine ads and local inventory displays for the exact flies needed, but only in that specific 50-mile radius.
That is hyper-local and perfectly timed.
It is. Or consider the coastal market with the migration trigger. Coastal AI stations detect the northern movement of a target species, like striped bass, based on water temp and satellite data.
And the system immediately updates local retailer inventory displays, newsletters, email promotions, all featuring the specific tackle relevant to that migration stage.
It's essentially turning the environment into a sales associate, making sure the store always knows what the fish are doing. This is a huge strategic shift.
It's moving past simply asking, are we ranking on Google, to asking, is our inventory and marketing responding to the environment in real time?
And as AI transitions from a competitive edge to an absolute industry standard, we have to talk about governance.
Yeah, we do. The regulatory current is shifting beneath the waterline, and companies need robust algorithmic governance to avoid what the compliance reports call policy whiplash.
Sudden, costly regulatory surprises.
Exactly.
This is all about protecting the digital assets, which are now as valuable as the physical ones. We have to address the growing silent risk of shadow AI.
Explain that.
It's where employees use unauthorized public AI tools to process proprietary company data, like dropping a sensitive customer list or a new product design into a public chatbot for a quick summary.
That action creates a massive security leak for sales data and manufacturing secrets. That's why implementing a closed-loop system is non-negotiable. You need the same legal rigor protecting your digital assets and the algorithms that manage them as you apply to your physical patents.
And governance is directly tied to brand trust, which is essential in the outdoor sector. The modern consumer demands transparency in premium outdoor products.
They absolutely do. And AI provides the necessary digital paper trail for ethical sourcing, tracking raw material origins and carbon footprints across the entire supply chain.
This is crucial not just for compliance, but for market share. Companies aren't just complying. They're using this transparency as a competitive advantage.
It's what we call the governance moat. The compliance brief states clearly, in the next 5 years, the most successful companies will have the most defensible AI. Governance is truly the insurance policy for the entire digital transformation strategy.
So, wrapping up this deep dive, the choice for industry stakeholders is now undeniable. You can continue in the reactive cycle of gut-feeling logistics, accepting that macro efficiency gap as a cost of doing business.
Or you can embrace the clarity and efficiency of predictive operations.
The frameworks we discussed, predictive supply, digital twins, GeoAI, are proven in the most complex, volatile environments. They are designed to be non-technical for business leaders, focused purely on outcomes.
And built with the singular goal of maximizing that return on assets and turning inventory faster.
The future of this industry is no longer written solely in fiberglass or carbon fiber. It is written in the data that flows through every part of the enterprise, from the warehouse floor adjusting inventory levels in real time,
to the consumer's high-intent search query triggered by a passing school of fish. And this leaves us with one final, provocative thought for you to consider.
Okay.
If your competitors can anticipate hyperlocal demand weeks ahead based on complex environmental factors, the thermal breaks, the rainfall, the specific fish migration patterns, what previously stable metric in your business, like quarterly budgeting, fixed regional staffing levels, or seasonal marketing spend, is now exposed as relying too heavily on outdated intuition? How far out do you need to look beyond the standard 90-day cycle to achieve true computational certainty in your planning?